Today is the third Sunday of Advent. It's also known as Gaudete Sunday, which means rejoice. We have a pink candle to remind us of the need to rejoice. Deaconette's wearing a pink stole. We don't have pink vestments, otherwise I would be using them, but we can also wear purple. Now, the church gives us this Sunday, and there's a similar Sunday during Lent, as a way of kind of focusing on greeting the Lord when he comes, rejoicing when he comes, because the first two Sundays of Advent are pretty hard-hitting when it comes to the readings. If you remember 2 weeks ago, the good news was that if God promises something, he fulfills his promises. He promised that he would bring the Israelites out of exile back to Jerusalem, and he did that. He fulfilled that promise. But we also had Jesus in the Gospel of Luke giving us some real hard-hitting news, because he said when the Lord comes in glory, people will die of fright. He said that day will come like a trap. You know, we're not going to notice it. We've got to be prepared for it. And he says that day will assault everyone. That's hard news. And what he's trying to do is not make us afraid, but rather to be ready, because we don't know when it's going to come. Be ready. And then last week, we really were given instructions on how to get ready. We had both the prophet Baruch and Jesus saying this, or John the Baptist saying, this is what you got to do. You got to level the mountains, you got to raise up the valleys, and you've got to straighten the path of the Lord. Why? Well, it's easier to follow a straight path. If the path goes up and down and all around the mountains, you might get lost, and especially going to be difficult for people who have, let's say, some disabilities, if they're blind or infirm. So the Lord's saying, you want it to be easier, you got work to do, make the path straight. Lower the mountains, raise the valleys. And that means doing that in our hearts, getting rid of whatever mountains and valleys are there that get in the way of us focusing straight on the Lord. But it also means for the world, we've got to go out into the world and do some real work. We have got to lower the mountains and raise the valleys for other people, whatever it is in their lives that is a mountain or a valley that they can't get through or over. We have been called to go out and straighten that path for them. And that means we can't sit comfortably at home or in our churches, but we got to go out and find these people. They're all over the place. I'm sure you know many of them, but I'd say most of us don't know the bulk of them. And it's our call, not only during Advent, but throughout the year, to go out and find people and say, what is impeding you from following the Lord? And then to help them through that. That's our job. That's the church's role in the world, to do exactly that. That's the commission Christ has given us. So last week we got that, and that can be tiring because, you know, we've got to get out of our comfort zones. We've got to do things that we might not want to do or think we can do, but we can do them because the Lord empowers us to do them. And then again today, John also gives some ways of preparing the way of the Lord. He says, if you got more than you need, give it away. If you're doing something wrong, stop it. Very clear information so that we don't have to be nervous or afraid. We don't have to drop dead from fright when the Lord comes in glory. We don't have to worry about being assaulted by the day of the Lord's coming. We can be ready. We can be ready. So it's all there in Scripture. So today, as a way of kind of relaxing a bit, and I refer to it as whew, Sunday. That's P-H-E-W. Because it's kind of an opportunity in the midst of all this preparation, anticipation, so forth and so on. We're called, just step back for a moment and rejoice. Rejoice. Rejoice that we've been given the good news. Paul says, rejoice, I'll say it again, rejoice. He repeats himself because we've got to hear it. In fact, they say nowadays you have to hear something 7 times before you really get it. But Paul says, rejoice. And here's a guy who suffered a lot, who did a lot of bridge building, of straightening roads, of pulling down mountains and raising valleys. And he says, rejoice always in the Lord. And we hear that from the first reading as well. God rejoices in us. God takes joy in us. Me? A sinner? God rejoices in me? But that's where we need to stop on a day like this and remember it's not just about God waiting for us to get trapped by the day of the coming of the Lord, but the Lord right now is loving us, rejoicing in us, and saying, come on, you can do it. I'm with you at all times. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to worry. Just do what I tell you to do, and along the way, keep rejoicing. Well, Lord, I don't feel like rejoicing. Well, it's not a feeling. It's not about an emotion. It's about a conscious effort to say, I take joy in God. God, you are my joy, just as I am your joy. Now, can you imagine what would happen to this church? Now, look at all the empty seats. Look at them. Didn't used to be that way. But what if the word got out that the people in here were filled with joy and they showed it? So when a stranger came in, we just didn't kind of look, you know, as they walked by, but rather we would get up. Hi, how are you? I'm so glad you're here. Welcome. And then come sit with us. You know, to take joy in our brothers and sisters and to show that joy, to rejoice. That's infectious. That's more powerful than any COVID-19, 20, 21, whatever that, you know, disease is disease. But joy is of the Lord. Joy comes from the Lord. It starts with God rejoicing in you and me. And then how can we not rejoice in the Lord's love of us? Then take that rejoicing and that joy out into the world and rejoice in other people. And to say to other people, you know, God takes joy in you. You know, you get a lot of head turning. What? What are you talking about? God takes joy in you. He rejoices in you. That's powerful. We need to hear that. I need to hear that. You need to hear that. The world needs to hear that. That there is a God who not only created us and, you know, allows us to go our bumpy way, but at every moment is rejoicing in us, and he wants us to hear it so that we look up to the Lord, see how wonderfully we are created and the gifts we have been given, so that we're not shuddering, we're not afraid, we're not dropping from fright, but rather we are willing to go out into the world, to go find the strangers, to go find those who are lost, who are out in the darkness, and to show the light of rejoicing to them so that they know who they are in the eyes of God. So it's very important to rejoice, and Paul constantly comes up with things like that. There's another passage where he says, in all circumstances, give thanks, because that is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In all circumstances, give thanks. That goes along with rejoicing. So Paul is saying, okay, the world seems to be collapsing. You still can make a choice to thank God. The world seems to be collapsing. We can still rejoice in the fact, in the knowledge, in our faith, that God is God. And if he promises something, it's going to happen. We don't have to keep reminding God. He knows. And why not rejoice in that? But again, not keep it to ourselves. I think as Catholics, we're very good about, yeah, that's true, and I'll pray about it, so forth and so on. But to actually take the reality of the commission to rejoice and take it out into the world, that's strange land for most Catholics. And yet, that's exactly why the church was created, to proclaim the gospel message of God's love, salvation, to bring other people into the light of Christ. So again, just imagine if people got word that we were a joyful group. You know, we didn't care if someone was sitting in our pew. You know, it's the Catholic thing. We're so used to sitting in the same place. But we saw people say, oh, how are you? Wonderful. Can I sit with you? You know, we asked strangers, can I sit with you and get to know them and to rejoice in their presence and then go find those out in the world who don't know about that joy. So Paul gives us, I think, a very, very wonderful challenge to take the reality of what we say we believe and translate it into an action that is rejoicing, which again is not about an emotion or a feeling, but rather a recognition that there's always a good reason to rejoice because God is God. He loves us. He rejoices in us. So why shouldn't I be rejoicing? So as you go forth this week, as always, we're filled with the Word of God. We're filled with the very flesh of God. How are we going to take it into the world this week and consciously rejoice in the presence of other people and take joy in other people? Let them know that God takes joy in them and rejoices in them. Think of the power that has to build people up so they can see things differently, and even in darkness know that they're not lost, that the Lord is still with them. But that's our job here and now, to remind them of that. In fact, to be Christ to them in the world, so that not only can they rejoice, but we will do what Paul says, rejoice. I say it again, rejoice.